it's Joe McGee. Welcome to our podcast. Make sure that you subscribe and please share the podcast with your friends. That is the number one way you can help us reaching people with God's love and healing. We love you guys. Hope you enjoy the podcast.
Hey, everybody. We're so glad that you joined us today. We have a very special guest today.
Yes, we do.
Amanda Gregorich. Amanda has her master's in education. Yeah. She's taught at ORU. She has been teaching at Rhema since 2004,
yes.
And her husband is the dean of students at Rhema, and she comes with a wealth of knowledge, and we are thrilled to have her. Mm-hmm. I've heard many students say that she's absolutely their favorite.
No pressure.
Oh, goodness.
There's no pressure.
That's
whatsoever.
A lot of pressure.
So, yeah. So, now, you know, we're watching.
Okay.
Okay. So I've heard so much about your class and everything, so I put together some questions,
sure.
Kind of stuff that I've kind of interested in. So I want to ask you, what do you think the difference between fruitful and unfruitful thinking is?
Well, I think our thinking has to line up with what the Word of God tells us.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's many instances in the Word of God. One of my favorite verses is Romans 12, 1 and 2, that mm-hmm. talks about thinking, talking about renewing your mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it tells us not to conform to the ways of the world. And it's so easy to do that when all we do is watch the news.
That's
or read
right.
the newspaper.
Yes, it is.
And so we have to be conscious of, are my thoughts lining up with the Word of God? When it tells us right there to be transformed by the renewing of our mind.
Right.
And the thing I love about the Word of God is that it always gives us how to. Many times we forget to even look at that.
Mm.
But it tells us to be transformed, and we don't stop there, because he goes on and he says, by renewing your mind. And so if we forget about the renewing your mind part, we're not going to be transformed. And we are going to pretty much conform to the ways of
yes.
the world.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I think of one of my grandmas had a Jell-O dish that looked
uh-huh.
like a rose.
Right.
And she would put the Jell-O in there, and the Jell-O conformed to the shape of the rose.
Mm.
I mean, you could make chocolate, whatever. At Easter, we see bunnies, and, you
right.
know, hearts. And it conforms to that shape. And if we're not careful, our thinking does it without us even realizing it in the way that the world says that we do things. You
right.
know, just like, oh, when you turn 21, that's the night you're supposed to go, you know, go out and party
yes.
and get drunk. Why?
Yes.
What's wrong with you? Why aren't you doing
you're
that?
An adult
the
now.
World thinks that.
Right.
And so when we look at what the Word says about how we treat our bodies, we can line our thoughts up with that. So to me, that's the difference. And if you're basing your thoughts on the Word or on what the world says.
Well,
let me ask. You've been doing this for a long time, so. What do you see today in the people coming through school that you saw different 10 years ago? How has it changed just in 10 years?
Well, I think with technology, the technology changes, and just if you just think about social media, just that one aspect in the last 10 years, a lot of people have trouble comparing themselves to other people.
Yeah.
And we didn't see that as much in our world until we can every minute of the day look at somebody else's vacation
yep.
or look at somebody else's picture that's been
right.
doctored, and that's not really
yeah.
even what they look like, right? And, you know, it tells us in the Word of God in Corinthians, it's not wise to compare yourself with someone else, but it's almost a natural thing to do.
Mm.
Because if you think about school and sports, who got first place, who's the valedictorian, who's better at this than this, and who's better at this to get the job, it's almost become a way to conform.
Right.
That we identify with our value based on whether or not it's better than what someone else has. Can I sing better than them? Did I lose weight faster than them? Am I making a better salary than that person? And so often we identify our value with those things
okay.
rather than with what the Word says.
So
that's a big difference I see.
And let me ask you this, because it applies to today. Coming out of we're coming on the other side of the COVID thing,
mm-hmm.
when we were so locked at home and
mm-hmm.
so inundated
mm-hmm.
with bad news
right.
constantly.
Right.
And it was really a faith drainer. You know, I mean, what advice would you give your students and stuff during that?
Mm-hmm.
Because it was almost an indoctrination.
Sure,
you know?
Sure. I think if you went to the Word again, I feel like all the answers will go back to, let's look
yes.
and see what the Word says about
mm-hmm.
that. Okay, we are getting information. This is what we're told we need to do. We need to stay 6 feet apart, or we need to wear the mask. We need to do this. Okay, line up with what the rules were,
right?
But not do it in fear. And I think so often if we step over into fear, you know, I've found a lot of us have areas in our life that we operate in fear in without even realizing it.
Right.
Even to the point of, let's say, oh, I have to work out today because I'm afraid if I don't, this will
happen.
That's
so true.
You know?
That's so
and if true. You make that little adjustment of I'm going to do it because it's good for me rather than I'm going to, I have to do that because I'm afraid of the result if I don't. There's a difference there.
Yeah, because one is a chore.
Exactly. Well, yeah, however you want to look at that.
Yeah,
but,
so.
You know, in anything, I have to do this because I'm afraid this would happen. That's fear. Mm. And if our thoughts are fear-based, we're going to have a real challenge.
I would just simplify. If somebody came to you, hey, I've got a young kid. So mm-hmm. They're getting ready to go to Bible school, going to go to university. I used to boil this down. Had a guy, older guy years ago, mess it. If you can boil this down to three things, I don't want to tell you three things. What are the three things? If I never see you again, this is the only time I'm going to see you, I need you to focus on these three things the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm.
What are the three most important things, you know, as a Christian, as a believer? We know it's, you got to stay in the Word. If you don't stay in the Word, your brain's going to leak out.
Mm-hmm.
But if you boil it down to three things, what's the three most important things? If I never see you again, you need to focus on these three things right here. What would they
be? Well, first of all, we would say love, obviously. Every single thing, I think, falls back on love. But the way that the enemy comes against us, and nobody else may even know, is in our thought life. To me, if you go along with what it says in Corinthians of take every thought captive, and you learn to do that and line it up with the Word of God, it can help in every single area of life. So three, obviously getting saved, walking in the power of the Holy Ghost, knowing your authority in that, but then within the thought life, so often we forget about that because it falls under the soulical realm. You know
what we think. We don't realize I'm what I think about.
I'm what I think about.
What have you been thinking about? What I've been watching, what I've been
exactly.
Listening to. So if I don't guard my heart, if I don't learn about the guarding, well, you can't guard everything. No, it's a filter system.
Right.
They used to talk about the Jewish kids that were in public schools, as we would call that during Jesus' day. So all the Jewish kids went to Roman schools.
Mm-hmm.
And it talks about, and Josephus, the Jewish parents were not worried about their kids learning about Roman gods and Roman religion because they knew what they knew so well.
Mm-hmm.
I can learn stupid all day long. What do you know? Not stupid. I can give it to you. What do you need on that test? I can give you these three things. Is that what you want?
Yeah.
I don't believe it, but I can give that to you. And see, my kids in major university, eight of our kids went to college, got out. But even Christian college, you got so much secular stuff. So how do you guard? Well, every day you come home class, what's the Word say? Give them what they want. If they want this, give it to them. Do you believe it? No, but that's what they want. So give them what they want.
Yeah.
So all of our kids took the PSAT, ACT test all to get scholarships. So starting in their junior year, or ninth grade, they've taken it every year. And their senior, they took it five times. I'm trying to make a high score. Well, it's half that stupid. Yeah, but that's what they want. Give them what they want. And so today, Christians seem to struggle about, what are you trying to do? I'm going to give them what they want. Yeah. I'm going to walk in love. I'm going to tell the truth. I'm not going to hang out with you, but what do you need? Well, I need you to do this. Okay.
But one of the things that I've noticed in my lifetime, mm-hmm. you know, like when I was a small kid, you know, there were shows like Leave It to Beaver mm-hmm, and stuff mm-hmm. like that honored the parents and mm-hmm, everything. Mm-hmm. But over the last 30 years, mm-hmm. suddenly kids are smarter than the parents. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of negative and cutting down and criticizing. Mm-hmm. And so kids, and because of the internet and everything, just what you said, I just saw this documentary about the influence of the internet and how with young girls, particularly going through puberty, suicide rates have skyrocketed because they're comparing themselves, like you said earlier, to the doctored photos, to people that seem to have it all together. And they're just lying for the most part, you know, not telling the truth. And, you know, and so we live in such a different time, you know, like I remember when I was growing up, my mother would shove you out the door in the morning. She might throw you a bologna sandwich at noon, and she might let you back in at 6.
Right, right.
And in retrospect, I always wonder, what was she doing all day in there? If you were thirsty, you went down the hose.
Watch
the soap opera and keep it her sanity.
But today, you have both parents working. You have kids that are raising themselves. And I noticed when I had interns that every year, I would have to say, okay, you guys go bathe. You know, you need to wash your hair every day. It things that my mother taught me naturally.
Right.
So when you get these kids today and they're coming to your class and they don't have like the background that you or I may have had, you know, I know that your class is pivotal mm-hmm. in helping to build that self-esteem that the devil has just made them feel like they're worthless yeah. and everything else. And ultimately, you're right, it is the word. But, mm-hmm. but to these kids that are coming in with somewhat of a blank slate, mm-hmm. and believe me, there's not just kids like that. There's plenty of sure, adults that sure. are that way, too. I mean, what would you tell them?
I think giving personal examples can mm-hmm. help the best that they can relate. I don't think that you stand up and talk about yourself all the time, but an example, especially that's led by the Holy Spirit, because He knows what's going to tap into their hearts.
Yeah.
One that I've shared before is I was never taught that worry was the way to live, but somehow I just got a hold of that. And so I thought when you heard a siren, an ambulance, then you had to think of what family member lived down that street, yep. the way where they were going yep. to. And yep. your thought, the journey of that thought, and this is what I do share with the students in this particular class, the journey of that thought is there's an emergency.
Right.
It's the street my grandma lives on. Mm. Her house must be on fire,
yeah.
or she must have had a heart attack.
Yeah.
And if you don't catch that thought, which the Word of God tells, it goes, the journey is, you're already planning what you're wearing to that person's funeral.
Yeah.
And it's not a joke, because it's very real in people's lives. And so the not to get too scientific, but when you study about how brains work
yeah.
and the neurons and the transmitters in the brain, if you picture like a tree and the branches,
right.
so the branches, when you have a thought, it literally connects to something else in your brain.
Mm-hmm.
And that connection gets stronger and stronger and stronger every time you think of it.
Yep.
So like you said, what you're watching.
Yep.
If every night I'm watching a horror movie,
yep.
then I shouldn't be surprised that when I'm sleeping, I have nightmares.
Thank
right.
you.
Like,
pretty
why,
simple.
How does that happen? But it's because I'm renewing my mind in the negative.
Yes.
Mm.
And it's almost like every fiber, it's connect, like your name is Angel.
Mm-hmm.
How many times of your life have you heard that? You don't, somebody's not going to come in here and go, oh no, that's not your name.
Right.
Because that fiber in your brain is
yeah.
so many layers of connections.
Right.
Then you're not going to argue with that.
Right.
But it's so awesome, because when you look at science, they think that's new, right? The Word of God told us many, many years ago that
good.
If we renew our mind, we mm-hmm. can be transformed.
That's
and
good.
The renewal process goes like this. Let's say that somebody called you by the wrong name for 4 days and you
right.
were kind of starting to believe that. No, well, I'm going to pull that fiber back and I'm going to connect it to the right one.
Mm.
And that's the literal vision of
that's
renewing
good.
Our mind. And so that's why I love the Word, because it says renew. That literally means, remember in elementary school, re, the prefix, means
yep.
to do it again.
Mm.
So you make that thought new again.
Mm.
And you take those fibers and you reconnect it to what the right way to think is.
So
does that
good.
Make sense?
Yes.
And
there's got to be a way to do it. God knew we were going to live in the last days.
Right.
There's got to be a way to make this thing effective.
Yeah.
And so what happens if you get caught up just reading the news or watching the world, you think, man, the whole place is going to hell in a handbasket.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
God
yeah.
always has a group of people.
Exactly.
We may not be the majority, but there's a group of
yeah.
us, and we're everywhere. We're
yeah.
out there. We're
yeah.
salt and light. We're everywhere.
Yeah.
So you just can't get caught. You got to.
Right.
Can't live in a cave or act like a hermit. I'm having our kids. Well, what do you send your kids? You send them to private school? I do. What for? I want a better education, because I'm preparing them to be an adult. And I want you to make good money. I don't have to support you when you're 40.
Yeah.
I want you to get your own job,
yeah.
buy your own house, get your own car.
Yeah.
And send me on a cruise.
Yeah.
Buy me a Winnebago. You know, you owe me. And we was people laughing. I was very serious. I'm like, you owe me. Good measure. Press down. You owe me. And so we birthed you,
yeah.
bathed you. But I had to guard what they thought. So and we lived out in the country, you know, on purpose. And that didn't make us perfect. But we lived out. So I don't see my neighbor. I don't have a neighbor. I lived in a mile and 7/10 of dirt road. Why? I got 6 kids.
Mm.
I want to guard how they grow up. So we put our own basketball court in the front yard, spent a whole summer building a pool in the backyard. We got our own gun range. You know, we had our own motorbikes and a go-kart. We could do, I want my home to be a fun place. This
yeah.
is a state park. I have my own state park. We had 2 Cracker Barrel porches, and it wasn't a big house, but it was ours. So
yeah.
what we're trying to do is, like, I want you to think right when you leave here.
Yeah.
Now, once you leave here, it's up to you.
Right, right. And those things are a foundation.
They are.
You mentioned before about trying to get the difference of your thoughts out. I use the example of a strainer or, you know, a strainer that you'd put in your sink, and I know it's not correct, so if you're Italian, don't correct me, but yes. If I pour the pasta there and the water goes away, that part that goes away is what I don't need to make the spaghetti.
Right.
And so that's the idea of I take thoughts in, and what I don't need goes away. Well, what's making up the fiber of those beans? Your foundation of what your belief system is. And so that's why it's a renew. It's do it again and again. Mm. And I mentioned about the worry. So no one ever told me, hey, you're supposed to worry about those sirens. Okay? That just – I might have got it from TV or a book I read or something.
Was your mother a worrier?
But that I mean, that just wasn't really discussed.
Right.
But nobody ever said, oh, somebody's house is burning down or anything that. But I found when I really got in the Word – I found, man, I see in Philippians where it says we're not supposed to worry.
Yeah.
How in the world are you supposed to not worry? That was ingrained in me. Right? And so I said, God, and it goes on there in Philippians and tells us, which we can go through that. But I said, for me, God, help me, because what do I need to do? He gave me a plan for me.
Right.
And that's what I think is really, really good. When you can go to God and say, help me. Because he knows your personality, he knows your makeup. So what he told me was, every time you hear a siren, I want you to pray for the people driving that emergency vehicle. Yes. And I want you to pray for the people involved in whatever the situation is. You don't have to know the situation.
Lord, they will live and not die. Bless them, whoever they are, wherever they're at.
Or if there's a worrier in that family, that you'll help them see.
Yeah.
Okay.
Peace.
So long story short, I did that for years and years and years. Never really thought anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
And our son Tanner, when he was 12, had a pretty bad accident at the baseball field. And it was not an intentional thing. It was totally an accident. He turned to walk into the dugout and walked into the full swing of a warm-up bat, okay, of a 12-year-old. So it wasn't, So long story short, I'm in the ambulance riding to the hospital with him in the back, and I hear the siren. And in that moment, I thought, I am not scared.
Wow.
I'm not worried about this. Now, what any mother would do, of course, I'm praying for him and I'm believing for the best. It's all going to be okay. But I'm not crazy sitting there going, la, 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 like nothing's happening. It's because for years and years and years, I built that up. And if I hadn't done that, I probably wouldn't even have been able to get in the ambulance.
Yeah, you probably would have been a wreck.
I would have probably passed out.
Yeah.
Right? And so I just like to use examples like that that are personal, because everybody can hear a siren. Yeah. And everybody might not worry like I did, but that renewing your mind regarding whatever it is, he's given us the plan there in Romans. And the thing that's really cool is people say, well, I don't know God's plan for my life. How will I ever know? It says right in that verse, once we are transformed by the renewing of our mind, you can prove God's perfect will. It says it right there in Romans 12, too.
That is so good, especially as we, again, are coming out of this COVID time.
Yeah.
Worry, I was surprised at how many I thought were biblically based believers just gave into it completely. I mean, it really separated the believers from the fear.
Right.
And so would you just take a moment and pray? And if you have something to say for the people here today that have struggled with worrying, like, is God still in control? Are these the last days? You know, just everything, how it builds up.
Would
you just take a minute to do that?
All right. Well, thank you, Lord. I just want to say, if you are somebody struggling with worry, get in your Bible, read Philippians 4, chapter 4, and really break that down, because it'll tell you exactly what to do to stop worrying. That's one of the best stress relievers in the Bible. So let me pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you for any person that's listening today. And I thank you, Father, that if they have trouble with worry, if worry has taken a hold of their life, that you show them and give them specific ways, according to your word, that they can change that in their life. I take authority over that spirit that's trying to destroy those people in the name of Jesus. And I thank you. Thank you, Father, for each person that's listening to hear this today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Hey, you're doing so great, and I know you have a lot more to say. Would you mind coming back and doing another one with us?
I'd be happy to.
That would be great. Hey, guys, if you would like to get in touch with Amanda, if you have a question for her or something, you can send your questions to mail@joemcgeeministries.com, and we will make sure she gets it.
Yes.
Hey, stay tuned. She'll be back next week. Thanks for joining us.
Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. It's got a great future for you and your family, and we're here to help you get there. Please make sure you visit Joe McGee Ministries on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. There you find all of our Friday funny videos and other encouraging resources for you and your family.